Hello and welcome to episode 276 of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb and I'm your host. It's a new week and I'm glad you decided to spend part of your day with me here. Thank you. Today we're in the book of 1 Samuel with chapters 5 and 6. Our translation this week will be the Contemporary English Version. Let's begin. 1 Samuel chapter 5. The Philistines took the sacred chest from near Ebenezer to the town of Ashdod. They brought it into the temple of their god Dagon and put it next to the statue of Dagon, which they worshipped. When the people of Ashdod got up early the next morning, they found the statue lying face down on the floor in front of the sacred chest. They put the statue back where it belonged, but early the next morning it had fallen over again and was lying face down on the floor in front of the chest. The body of the statue was still in one piece, but its head and both hands had broken off and were lying on the stone floor in the doorway. This is why the priests and everyone else step over that part of the doorway when they enter the temple of Dagon in Ashdod. The Lord caused a lot of trouble for the people of Ashdod and their neighbors. He made sores break out all over their bodies, and everyone was in a panic. Finally, they said, "The God of Israel did this. He is the one who caused all this trouble for us and our god Dagon. We've got to get rid of this chest." The people of Ashdod invited all the Philistine rulers to come to Ashdod, and they asked them, "What can we do with the sacred chest that belongs to the God of Israel?" "Send it to Gath," the rulers answered. But after they took it there, the Lord made sores break out on everyone in town. The people of Gath were frightened, so they sent the sacred chest to Ekron. But before they could take it through the town gates, the people of Ekron started screaming, "They've brought the sacred chest that belongs to the God of Israel. It will kill us and our families too." The people of Ekron called for another meeting of the Philistine rulers and told them, "Send this chest back where it belongs, then it won't kill us." Everyone was in a panic because God was causing a lot of people to die, and those who had survived were suffering from the sores. They all cried to their gods for help. 1 Samuel chapter 6. After the sacred chest had been in Philistia for 7 months, the Philistines called in their priests and fortune tellers and asked, "What should we do with this sacred chest? Tell us how to send it back where it belongs." "Don't send it back without a gift," the priests and fortune tellers answered. "Send along something to Israel's God to make up for taking the chest in the first place. Then you will be healed, and you will find out why the Lord was causing you so much trouble." "What should we send?" the Philistines asked. The priests and fortune tellers answered, "There are 5 Philistine rulers, and they all have the same disease that you have. So make 5 gold models of the sores and 5 gold models of the rats that are wiping out your crops. If you honor the God of Israel with this gift, maybe he will stop causing trouble for you and your gods and your crops. Don't be like the Egyptians and their king. They were stubborn, but when Israel's God was finished with them, they had to let Israel go. Get a new cart and 2 cows that have young calves that have never pulled a cart. Hitch the cows to the cart, but take the calves back to their barn. Then put the chest on their cart. Put the gold rats and sores into a bag and put it on the cart next to the chest. Then send it on its way. Watch to see if the chest goes on up the road to the Israelite town of Beth Shemesh. If it goes back to its own country, you will know that it was the Lord who made us suffer so badly. But if the chest doesn't go back to its own country, then the Lord had nothing to do with the disease that hit us. It was simply bad luck." The Philistines followed their advice. They hitched up the 2 cows to the cart, but they kept their calves in a barn. Then they put the chest on the cart, along with the bag that had the gold rats and sores in it. The cows went straight up the road toward Beth Shemesh, mooing as they went. The Philistine rulers followed them until they got close to Beth Shemesh. The people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting their wheat in the valley. When they looked up and saw the chest, they were so happy that they stopped working and started celebrating. The cows left the road and pulled the cart into a field that belonged to Joshua from Beth Shemesh, and they stopped beside a huge rock. Some men from the tribe of Levi were there. So they took the chest off the cart and placed it on the rock, and then they did the same thing with the bag of gold rats and sores. A few other people chopped up the cart and made a fire. They killed the cows and burned them as sacrifices to the Lord. After that, they offered more sacrifices. When the five rulers of the Philistines saw what had happened, they went back to Ekron that same day. That is how the Philistines sent gifts to the Lord to make up for taking the sacred chest. They sent 5 gold swords, 1 each for their towns of Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. They also sent 1 gold rat for each walled town and for every village that the 5 Philistine rulers controlled. The huge stone where the Levites set the chest is still there in Joshua's field as a reminder of what happened. Some of the men of Beth Shemesh looked inside the sacred chest, and the Lord God killed 70 of them. This made the people of Beth Shemesh very sad, and they started saying, "No other God is like the Lord. Who can go near him and stay alive? We'll have to send the chest away from here, but where can we send it?" They sent messengers to tell the people of Kiriath-Jearim, "The Philistines have sent back the sacred chest. Why don't you take it and keep it there with you?" May God bless the reading of His Word. Of course, you've heard the phrase, "Be careful of what you wish for, you might just get it." The Philistines wanted the Ark of the Covenant because it was known far and wide that the presence of the God of Israel was there. Now, of course, we know from our perspective here in the 21st century that God is omnipresent, but then it was true that God clearly manifested Himself through the Ark. It was also known that the God of Israel did some miraculous and powerful things to Egypt's Pharaoh to cause him to release the people of Israel from slavery. So the Philistines wanted the Ark, and they wanted it badly. And as we read in the last chapter, they captured it in a great battle. Be careful what you wish for. When the Philistines brought the Ark home, they set it near the image of their god Dagon, in the temple of Dagon. Guess what? God does not want to be associated with other gods. And over the course of 2 nights, He caused the idol to fall over, and the second night, it was broken. Then the Philistine people began breaking out in some sort of skin disease, and they panicked, knowing that the God of Israel was the cause, because they took the Ark. They made plans to get rid of it. You know, we look at this story and think how cool it is that God made Himself known this way. And of course He would not want to be in the temple of an idol. And we think the Philistines deserve to suffer. Be careful though, we have idols today too. They may not be carved out of wood, and we may not confess with our mouths that there are gods, but they are idols nonetheless. The thing that gets your devotion, that gets your attention above all others, is your God. Is there something in your life that gets more attention than God? I could rattle off a list of possible suspects, but if my question caused something to spring up in your mind right now, I'd like to encourage you to carefully examine your relationship with that thing and ask God if it is a problem. He wants to be the center of your attention and devotion. He deserves it, don't you think? Comments? Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode number 276. Or tweet me at @SteveWebb_ and put #LifespringMedia in your comment. That way I'll get to see it. Tomorrow we're back in the book of Galatians. I hope to see you then. In the meantime, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.